The makers of Jason Sanborn Coffee, the blend of the world's choice coffees, now being sold at a very reasonable price, present Constance Bennett, Dorothy Lamour, W.C. Fields, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Ray Middleton, Leonard Jansen, and Don Amici. This is the Chase and Sanborn Hour.
Jason Sanborn Hour, and this is Don Amici greeting you for one of the grandest actresses in pictures, Miss Constance Bennett, and for one of our outstanding young baritones, Mr. Ray Middleton. Greetings too from all the rest of us, W.C. Fields, Dorothy Lamour, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy, and Werner Jansen, America's foremost conductor, who leads the orchestra in a hit tune of the day from Wake Up and Live, I'm Bubbling Over.
Red-headed Charlie McCarthy is still very busy getting into trouble, and he does it so often it's hard to believe he isn't a real live person. But after all, Edgar Bergen must take all the blame for whatever Charlie says, for it was Edgar who whittled Charlie out of a piece of wood, put a top hat in his head, a monocle in his right eye, and does all the talking for him. Well, Charlie, you certainly look in the pink of condition. Your cheeks are nice and rosy, and there's a merry twinkle in your eye.
Yes, Mr. Mickey, I'm as happy as a bird. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Charlie, I regret that I must dance on your spirit.
Yeah?
Yes. There's a little matter I must discuss with you.
What's that?
It's the subject of education.
Oh, yes, yes. Splendid thing, that book learning. Splendid thing.
Yes. What I want to know is just how are you getting along with your schoolwork out here?
Oh, very nicely. That's fine. Nothing indeed, yes.
That's strange.
Is it?
Yes. For only the other day, I had a letter from Mr. Ramshackle saying that he was truant officer in this district.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Yes.
He has no record of your enrollment in any school.
Is that so?
Yes. And that he says that he's written you twice. Is that true?
That's a lie.
It's not true, fine.
He's written four times.
Four times. Charlie, you don't mean to tell me that you've been skipping school, do you?
I didn't mean to tell you.
I didn't think so, no. In New York, you promised me, Charlie, that you would take this work seriously out here and that you would study hard.
Yeah, well, I was back in New York.
Yes, sir.
Well, believe me, Mr. Bergen, I have tried hard.
You have?
I've looked all over for a school out here.
Is that so?
Yes, but I'm a stranger.
Yes.
All alone out here. Every day I look for a school.
Is that so?
Yes. But it doesn't seem to make any difference what street car I take. I always end up at Ocean Park.
Is that so? You'll pay for this folly, young man.
Is that so?
Yes. You're just a ship without an anchor or a port.
Mm-hmm.
Just a butterfly drifting aimlessly before the breeze.
Oh, please, don't say any more. I can't stand it.
Yes.
I hate myself.
Yes.
I'm a perfect cad, don't you know?
Yes, I know.
Haven't you ever thought of the future, Charlie? Why don't you play fair with yourself?
Well, I have thought of it.
Well, that's fine.
Yes, only the other day, I had a long talk with myself.
That's fine.
I spoke up, too.
I'll bet you did.
I didn't use words.
That's fine. What did you say?
I said to myself, Charlie, old boy, Charlie. He's coming like.
Yes.
I says, old boy, Charlie. See, I always call myself by my first name.
Yes, sir.
After all, why shouldn't I?
Yes, sir.
It was just an informal talk.
Yes, I know.
I said, Charlie, old boy, what's going to become of you, see?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what was the answer?
Well, you know, I had myself cornered.
You did. Yes. Well, Charlie, in these days of keen competition,
yes,
education is so necessary.
Oh, isn't it?
Yes. It's so essential to success.
Oh, how essential that is.
Yes. And remember, Charlie, that knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge is the power that drives the vehicle of success.
Yes.
Now, where do you fit on this vehicle?
I'm the trailer.
That's what I thought.
Well, it's an old saying, Bergen, that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Yes.
Drink deep of the cup of knowledge, or not at all. Or a little drunkies one. And I say a little snort now and then.
No. With that sort of an attitude, you can be positive or failure.
Well, it's nice to be sure.
Yes. Let me ask you this, Charlie.
Yes.
Where will you be 20 years from now?
I'll meet you there. Well, for that matter, wise guy, where would you be right now without me?
All right.
That burns him up. I'll hear more about that.
Yes.
I say experience is a good thing. It's a great teacher.
Yes.
Study alone doesn't make you a big man.
Well, I must admit that you're right there.
Yes. I wouldn't trade my experiences for anything. If, for example, last fall in England, I went grouse shooting in the Scottish uplands with Lord Chippisfield for a fortnight.
You did?
Oh, what fun. Yes.
So you were grouse shooting in England?
Oh, definitely.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm. I go every autumnal.
Oh, you do?
Oh, what fun, dear.
Did you have any luck shooting?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, fine.
By the first day out, I got 3 cocker spaniels.
Yes.
And the second day, I got a horse.
A horse.
And my host.
And your host.
I don't miss a darn thing.
No.
If it moves, I shoot.
Yeah.
If anyone shoots, I move. There's more action.
Yeah. Young man, I don't believe you were in England.
No?
No. And I don't believe that you met Lord Chippisfield.
You don't? I don't. Oh, come now. Don't be a twerp.
Well. I don't believe you've ever been grouse shooting.
Oh, come. It's true. Don't pump me. It's true.
No. I don't believe you.
Don't you believe me?
I really don't believe you.
It's true. No. Tell me now.
No.
That's embarrassing. Mm. True.
No.
Well, heck, I tried.
Yes, I
According to this morning's paper, one of Great Britain's leading astronomers finds that the moon, the steadfast old moon, is off her course. Could it be all the moon songs that have done this? Is Dorothy Lamour perhaps sounding a warning as she sings, "Turn off the moon"?
Turn off the moon, that heavenly spotlight above. Turn off the stars, for I'm falling madly in love. When the night is dark and I am just myself, I can't be misled. But when there is moonlight, I don't trust myself. My heart runs away with my head. Turn off the moon, that symbol of dazzling. Turn off the tune, the whippoorwill sings in the night. Words that should be sensible become incomprehensible. I start to croon like a dove. Turn off the moon, for I'm falling madly in love.
Summer just around the corner, this is an ideal time for Donald Briggs to remind you of one of the grandest of all warm weather drinks, Donald Briggs.
That marvelous summer drink is, of course, iced coffee. For iced coffee not only cools you off, but revives you, too. But when coffee is diluted by ice, you must make sure it doesn't lose the full, rich flavor that makes it so refreshing. So take two precautions. Make your coffee a little stronger than usual, and above all, use the blend with the extra richness you need, Chafin Sanborn Coffee. This superb blend of the world's choice coffees comes to you at the peak of its full, satisfying flavor. For as soon as it's roasted, we rush Chafin Sanborn dated coffee to your grocer, guaranteed fresh by our dating plan. So you're safe from stale, rancid taste and get fresh, delicious flavor every time. And you save money, too, because our dating and rapid delivery plan enables us to pack it in an economical dated bag instead of an expensive container. And you get the cash savings. Enjoy Chafin Sanborn dated coffee, often either hot or iced. Buy a pound from your grocer tomorrow.
Just two nights ago, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer previewed their newest picture, Topper. And I understand it's another feather in the cap of its star, Constance Bennett. The House of Bennett has given a great deal of talent to the stage and screen, and Constance is a true daughter of the family. Famous for the glamorous roles in which she was the first to introduce smart comedy to the screen. In Candlelight, I am honored to play the part of Joseph while she plays Marie, Miss Constance Bennett.
Thank you very much, John.
Candlelight with Miss Constance Bennett as Marie, the lady who comes a-calling, and Don Amici as Joseph, valet to Prince Rudolf Hasseldorf. In making a telephone call for his master, Joseph has been connected with the wrong number. And encountering a charming and aristocratic feminine voice on the wire, he invites its owner to call. The prince is out and Joseph alone when, to his surprise and delight, he answers the doorbell and finds a beautifully gowned lady on the threshold.
Oh, I felt you would come.
I suppose you think I...
Oh, no, no, no.
What?
Nothing. Oh, how can I think when I see you standing there?
Well, but I've only come to say I can't come.
Oh, well, of course.
Well, thank you so much for a lovely evening.
Oh, you're not going?
Of course I'm going. Never, never before have I set foot in a strange gentleman's apartment.
What, do you mean to say that you don't really know whose apartment this is?
No, how should I? Whose is it?
It belongs to Prince Rudolf Hasseldorf.
Oh, you're a prince. Thank you, Dad.
You think Prince is important?
Oh, but of course I do, don't you?
Oh, I don't know. As I said to my valet this morning, after all, we're just human beings.
Oh, but let me remove your wrap.
I can't stay more than 5 minutes.
No, of course not.
Well, 10 if you're outside.
And now may I be permitted to learn your name?
Oh, well, if you must know, it's Mary.
Mary, oh, yes, charming. Please go on.
That's all there is. There isn't any more.
Well, tell me, does everyone call you Mary?
Of course.
Oh, do they really? Well, I thought they might call you Mary or Maria or Mitzi.
Mitzi, oh. Oh, you have a picture of a lady on your wall. Who is she?
Oh, that's a distant aunt of mine.
Is she really? Why, the Queen of Romania.
What? Oh, why, so it is. I do seem to remember hearing something about her marrying the King of Romania.
What are you doing?
Dusting her face. Oh, excuse me. It's just an old family custom.
I see. Well, you dust very well.
Oh, yes, yes. All of my family have been great dusters. Are you still sorry you came?
Well, no, I'm not sorry.
Mary.
Oh, you men, how lucky you are. You sit cozily at home like spiders in your webs, and the poor little flies come buzzing in one after another.
Oh, now.
Only great papers, of course. A man like you wouldn't bother about anything lower than a baroness.
Well, one is rather exclusive. Oh, but come now. Do you realize that all I know about you is your first name?
Isn't that enough to go on with?
Oh, of course. You want to conceal your identity. Yours is an aristocratic, possibly even a world-famous name.
To you, it is simply Mary, a plain, ordinary girl.
Oh, but it's easy to tell that you move in the very highest circle.
It is? How?
By your voice. I could tell the minute you spoke on the phone.
Just by the sound of my voice. Fancy that.
Oh, how you must shine at social functions. Do you have many of them?
Oh, yes. We entertain extensively, but it's a great bore. I often say that the servants have the best time.
The servants?
Yes, they're much freer, aren't they?
Oh, yes, 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 of course. Shall we take a little stroll through the apartment?
Oh, I'd love it.
Yeah, well, let me show you the library. I have yards and yards of books.
Have you?
Oh, yes, quite a yard and a half of Shakespeare alone.
Shakespeare? My goodness, is that man still writing? Oh, dear me, you have got a lot of books. Don't tell me you read all of them.
Joseph, where are you?
Prince, you mustn't. Really, you mustn't kiss me.
Oh, it was only only for an instant. Excuse me, I'll fetch the brandy, and we can drink it here in the library.
Oh, sorry, Joseph, if I intrude.
Oh, Your Highness.
Am I right in believing there's a lady in the library, Joseph?
Oh, Your Highness, it all started so innocently over the telephone, and all of a sudden, here she is. And, oh, Your Highness, she makes me feel like one of the great lovers of history.
You never soared to such exalted heights before.
Oh, never, Your Highness. Just cooks and ladies' maids. With, perhaps, a governess at Christmas.
Mm. Well, enjoy yourself while you can, Joseph. For the rest of the evening, you shall be the prince and I the valet.
Oh, Your Highness.
You must give the lady supper, Joseph. Run across to Socker's and order it. Your serving coat's here in the closet. I'll slip it on and set the table. Go along now.
Oh, yes, yes, Your Highness.
Rudolph, you know those books in your library are covered in dust. That wouldn't be allowed in my house. Oh.
Excuse me, madame.
Where's the prince?
He's gone to order supper, madame.
Oh. What's your name?
Joseph, madame.
Oh, you're Joseph's valet. I thought you were out.
I was, but I came back.
Joseph, don't you get a little tired just standing around waiting and looking at those little suppers of his?
Oh, no. No, some games are as amusing to watch as to play.
Joseph, come here. I want to tell you something. I like you.
Do you, madame?
And now that we're alone, I want to tell you something else.
Yes, madame?
You'll never guess. But I'm not madame. And what's more, I'm not a lady. My name isn't even Mary, it's Mitzi.
Mitzi?
I'm Baroness von Mischenheim's parlor maid.
What?
Yes, that's right. And that's why from the very first I was attracted to you.
Attracted to me?
Like to like, you see. I the maid and you the valet. Fancy both of you thinking me an aristocrat. I'm not sure I'm not more pleased at taking you in than at fooling the prince. But you won't give me away, will you?
Oh, of course not.
You know, it's terribly difficult being a lady, my dear. But with you, I can let myself go. No formality.
Yes, at heart, we're only really happy with our own class.
No, my dear, you never spoke a truer word. Oh, hello, Prince. Did you get the supper?
It will be here in a moment. I hope you haven't been bored.
Oh, no, I've been having a most amusing conversation with your servant.
Oh, have you? How very nice.
Do you mind if I tie this?
Oh, certainly, certainly. This way, Marie.
You know, he's so intelligent. I always think it's so interesting to get the viewpoint of the lowest classes, don't you?
Oh, Your Highness, don't torture me like this.
Well, what have I done?
I could feel it in the air when I came in. You were just about to carry on.
Well, really, my dear Joseph, you don't suppose a lady, a real, genuine aristocrat like that...
Oh, Your Highness hasn't any idea what a lady will do when you leave her alone with a valet. Now, don't steal it from me, Your Highness. That has always been my secret dream. To love a lady who has her own car, buys all her clothes in Paris, and goes riding before breakfast.
Well, cheer up, Joseph. You may trust me. And now you'd better go down in the cellar and get out some wine.
Oh, yes, Your Highness. May it be champagne?
It must be champagne. Run along now. She'll be coming back.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Your Highness. And remember your promise.
Hello. Give me 21721. Please. Hello. Is this Baroness von Rischenheim? This is Prince Rudolf Hasseldorf. My house is less than a block from yours, yet I've never had the honor of meeting you, madame. But I must see you right away. Your parlor maid is here, and... Oh, no, no. Meet me outside right away, and please let me explain it to you in person. Yes, something must be done. You will? Good. I'm leaving now.
Dear me, I hope that supper's arrived. I'm really starved. Prince, where are you?
Getting the wine.
Wine? Good. Open it quickly.
Oh, not until supper arrives. Mary, come sit beside me here. Let me talk to you. Oh, Mary, I love you. I long to hold you in my arms, to kiss your hair and your eyes, your lips, to whisper in your ear, I love you.
Well, perhaps it could be arranged, but not now, before supper. I'm too hungry.
Oh, isn't that just like a woman? One pours out one's soul in molten words of passion, and all she thinks of is her stomach.
Oh, now, really, Prince, please remember there are ladies present. Besides, a young girl must eat, you know.
Well, there probably is your supper. Joseph? Well, now, where is that man of mine gone? Well, I shall have to answer it myself.
Well, Your Highness, I brought you company.
Company?
I've come to see if I can serve madame. Oh, milady. Milady. Oh, milady.
Why do you keep saying milady?
Well, I think it must be because she is this lady's parlor maid.
Yes, my parlor maid, Mitzi.
Mitzi?
Oh, milady, it was only a joke. I hope you will forgive me for borrowing your clothes.
I think, my dear Joseph, the time has come for you to disclose your identity, too.
Joseph? Aren't you Prince Rudolph?
No, I'm Joseph, His Highness's valet. This is His Highness, the Prince.
Oh, milady. Just Joseph.
Merely Mitzi.
Now, what difference does it make?
Oh, all the difference, Your Highness. My beautiful dream is over. Those aristocratic...
Nonsense! Take it from me, Joseph. If a woman is the right woman, her rank doesn't matter. And now, Baroness, I think a little supper.
I can only stay 10 minutes.
Of course, dear lady, only 10 minutes. We'll wait on ourselves. Joseph, you may go.
That's all, Missy.
There'll be some cold chicken for you, Joseph, when the supper arrives. We can spare it.
You're very kind, Your Highness. If any further service is required, ring once for the valet.
And twice for the maid. Come, Joseph.
For Miss Bennett and myself, thank you. The Chase and Sanborn Hour with W.C. Fields, Constance Bennett, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, Ray Middleton, and Werner Jansen continues in just a moment.
La, la, here we are. Oh, Mr. Nietzsche, may I compliment you on that fine performance?
Well, thank you, Charlie, but the bows really belong to Miss Bennett.
Oh, well, yes, that's right, but you were good, too, you know. Simply splendid. And I'm here to tell you I've written a play, and I'd like to cast you in it.
Oh, well, say, that's mighty nice of you, Charlie. Mm-hmm. What's the name of the play?
It's called Electric Light.
Electric Light?
Yes, it's a modern version of the play you just did, Candlelight. It's more powerful and shocking.
Say, that all sounds intriguing. Who's producing it?
I am. I'm directing it, too. Of
quite versatile, don't you think?
Oh, but definitely.
Yes. Now, in the first act, the beautiful Gwendolyn Gush, played by Dorothy Moore, enters and says, "I love him, I adore him, I shall go mad if he does not return," see?
Oh, I see. Well, does Dorothy know she's playing this part?
Yes, she does, yes. We've been rehearsing at odd moments. Go ahead, Dorothy, show Mr. and me Chase.
All right, Charlie, give me my cue.
Lights, orchestra, asbestos curtain, swing it.
I love him, I adore him, I shall go mad if he does not return.
Uh-huh, see, isn't that convincing? Mm. Now, isn't that good, isn't that wonderful, the way she lives that part? Say it again, Dorothy, this time with not so much emotion. After all, we're only rehearsing.
Yes, Charlie, give me my cue again, please.
Lights, orchestra, curtain, swing it.
Oh, I love him. I adore him. Mm. I shall go mad if he does not return.
Just read it. Don't tear it apart. You know. Now, you see, Don, that establishes that she loves him.
Yeah, I see. But who's him?
Oh, that's just it. I don't ever tell, see. It's a mystery play. Then nobody enters until the second act. And then comes Horace Strongheart, the hero.
Oh, that's the part you want me to play, eh?
No, I'm sorry, Don. I've picked someone else for the leading part.
Who?
Me. But you'll get an opportunity.
Oh, I do. What do I play?
You play my understudy, see? And, you know, I'm so sickly, I might get sick any time.
Oh, well, I don't know. There doesn't seem to be much in this for me. Uh-huh. By the way, how much do you pay your actors?
Oh, it's no pay. It's a benefit performance. It's for a needy cause, see?
Well, may I ask what this needy cause is?
Well, it's because I need it. we're raising money for the Rickety Diggy Club for orphans. I'm head man there, too.
I see. How many members are in this club, Charlie?
I'm the only one.
That's just what I thought. And frankly, Charlie, I'm not quite satisfied with that understudy part. You better get someone else.
Well, no. Don't get so hasty. Some night I may get sick, and then you'll get to play the part, and the talent scout will see you, and you may get a screen test, maybe.
Well, that's a point to consider. Mm-hmm. But I still don't think I'll take it.
No?
No.
Well, now, how about if I give you a speaking part,
huh? Oh, well, now, that's different.
Of course, it'll be less money.
If it's a fat part, I'll sacrifice money for art. Mm-hmm. Do I have any long, sustained scenes?
Well, yes and no. At the end of the third act, the door opens, and in you come.
Yeah?
And then you say, yippee.
Yippee, yippee, yippee!
No, cut that out. You're building up your part again. Just one yippee. You gotta watch them.
Well, look, what kind of a costume do I wear for this tremendous dramatic effort?
Well, you're sort of a cowboy shepherd boy. You have a crook in your hand, see?
Oh, I get it. A gangster part, huh?
No, it's a shepherd crook, you know. And if you do a good yippee, we'll give you the crook. And if you don't, we'll give you the hook.
Yippee! Let me know when the first rehearsal comes along, Charlie, so I can be sure and miss it. With the most famous waltz ever written, Werner Jansen and the orchestra bring back memories of pre-war Vienna. The gayest city in the world, the beautiful Blue Danube.
Thank you. ever expect trouble and look forward to it? Well, that's the spot I'm in right now, for with the arrival of Bill Fields, my trouble begins, and I love it. So come on, trouble, and welcome W.C. Fields. Hello, Bill. How are you feeling?
I feel fine, Don. How are you?
Well, I was all right up to now.
Fear not, my Bonamy, she. Get that one, Don, isn't it good? Bonamy, she. Rather tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, I got it.
I thought it up myself. I had two elephants once.
Now, Bill. That's just one of the things you shouldn't say. Now, you know very well.
Don't tell me. I know. I got a memorandum on the way in. Here it is. I'll read it to you, Don. Number one. Don't mention the picture company you're working for.
That's correct. That's right.
They evidently mean Paramount Moving Picture Corporation. Hot up, Zucker, the president.
Now, Bill, please.
Little fella.
Please.
I'm reading, Don. Number two, don't mention the coffee concern you're working for.
That's right.
Jason Sandborn.
Oh, now, Bill, please.
I'm still reading, Don.
All right.
Donald Briggs will tell the public that Jason Sandborn coffee is put in bags scientifically treated to withstand the air, rain, elements, thunder.
Oh, now, Bill.
Protected against fire, threats, and cyclones while traveling in Mexico and the Dominion of Canada. And the Gobi Desert of Mongolia.
Bill, please.
Jason Sandborn coffee and dinosaur egg, Bala Papa, is relished by the Gobiites.
Well, are you through?
For the ninth,
yes. Okay. Now, don't number three. Don't mention elephants. Elephants get under my skin.
You sure they're elephants, Don?
I'm not changing the subject, Bill. Where did you get that badge you're sporting on your manly chest?
All this was given to me by Biscaloose.
You don't mean Sheriff Biscaloose?
I don't mean Pip and Bill's blind aunt. Biscaloose and I were very dear friends. I met him whilst vacationing in Alcatraz prison.
Alcatraz?
Yeah, it's a big iron boarding house. Clang, clang, clang. We are the boys from Alcatraz.
Bill, wait a minute.
Wait a minute, I'm singing. We don't belong to the regulars. They send us every year. A little slowly there. Go ahead.
Look, well, what brought you to Alcatraz,
Bill? I was rehearsing Romeo.
Oh, you mean Romeo and Juliet?
No, just Romeo. In the midst of rehearsals, I was suddenly whisked away to Alcatraz.
Well, you must have been a pretty bad actor.
There were extenuating circumstances, Don. I was very excited.
And they sent you to Alcatraz prison for rehearsing Romeo and Juliet?
Wait, Don. We had no balcony in our modest little home. So I had taken the ladder with me to a neighbor's chateau. I had gently placed the ladder against the balcony. And with great caution, ascended.
Yeah. Go on, Bill. You were ascending the ladder.
Oh, yes. Then suddenly, instead of Juliet, who should appear in the balcony but a new character in the guise of a constable? Followed by three other Mounties.
Mounties?
Well, imagine my great amazement and consternation when the officer suddenly discovered that I had been framed. Someone had inadvertently or maliciously placed a pearl necklace in my pocket. Odd pieces of jewelry.
Yes?
A cameo of Martha Washington. Some knives and forks.
Yes. Go on, Bill.
And while I had my back turned, some villainous wag, some malcontent, evidently a red, had stuck a bag in my hand filled with silver. A silver shining set, two plates and one cup missing. A gold candelabra, one of the candles still burning.
One of the candles still burning?
Yes, that attracted the Mountie's attention. Don, the ignominy of it all.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Bill. You were framed.
Yes, I was framed like my poor dear father before me. The kindly old fellow, a picture of man. They finally framed him and hung him in the old courthouse in Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
Bill, how did you get that badge?
Oh, do you want me to tell the whole thing over again right from the beginning?
No, no, no. In fact, I'm sorry I heard it the first time.
Oh.
Excuse me, Don. Am I intruding?
Well, frankly, Edgar, I'm glad you're here.
I hope I didn't interrupt anything important.
Oh, not at all, Edwin. Not at all.
Bill, I just came here to tell you something about Charlie.
I know enough about him already.
Now listen, Mr. Fields, I got a bone to pick with you.
Pick your head off.
Stay with Mr. Fields.
Now, you've got Charlie all upset, Bill. He's tried all sorts of ways to make friends with you.
Yes, I've had people intercede for me, and I brought you a bouquet of flowers.
No, Jerry, go on.
Now I don't know what to do nor where to go.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you where to go and what to do. You want me to go into details?
I don't know. No matter what I say, it seems to be the wrong thing.
Then throw a button on your lip.
Now, Bill. Charlie really isn't feeling well at all. Look how pale he is.
I need a new coat of paint, a little Vernie fire foam. Those teeth again. Little furniture, Barney.
Mr. Fields, my mind is made up. I'm determined to fight fire with fire.
You know what happens to the little boys who play with fire?
Don't mind Charlie, Bill. His bark is really worse than his bite.
I'll rip off his bark and bite off his limb.
This is going far enough. I've been a little gentleman up to now. But now, Mr. Fields, I'll clip you, so help me, I'll mow you down.
Go away, or I'll stick a woodpecker on you.
Well, I don't know what to do about this, Bill. You know, Charlie holds you very dear.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of deers, I saw a deer killed by a train this morning out in the country.
Was the deer on the railroad track, Mr. Fields?
Yeah, no. The train ran up into the woods after him. Caught him between two trees and pounced on him. What's the matter with that kid?
While we're on the subject of deers, here's a real deer, Miss Constance Bennett. Miss Bennett, this is W.C.
Charlie McCarthy, I'm so glad to see you. You're so cute.
This is me over here.
Yes, so this is W.C.
And Edgar Bergen, I want to congratulate you on that grand opening here tonight.
Thank you,
Miss Bennett, this is W.C.
Mr. Bergen, I really think you're the cleverest person I've ever met. And little Charlie is by far the funniest.
She's practically left nothing to say about me.
Miss Bennett, surely you know W.C.
And, Don, I saw the opening of your new picture, and I think it's grand.
She doesn't know his picture isn't finished yet.
Charlie, you're looking better every day.
Why shouldn't he? He just had a new coat of paint.
Bill, you know Miss Bennett, don't you?
Oh, yeah, sure, I know Connie.
Constance Bennett is the name.
Oh, yes, I know. How's your pappy?
I'm happy to report that my pater, Mr. Richard Bennett, is exceedingly well.
We're talking about your father, aren't we?
I presumed as much.
The last time I saw him, I think he was playing one of the uncles in Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Twaddle.
Oh, was it Twaddle? I went around the stage door, and we went out to one of those places that, what do you call it, the swinging door, you get liquor.
I know, a cocktail lounge.
Oh, yes, yes, that's it, a saloon. Yeah, it was a hot night. We were both awfully thirsty. You ever get thirsty, Connie?
The answer is no, and Constance Bennett is the name.
Oh, you don't get thirsty, eh? You told me the name. Your father and I used to get very thirsty together.
Mr. Fields, if you will excuse me, I know for a positive fact that my father loathes, abhors, and abominates alcohol.
Yes, I know it has many uses. We used to drink it too.
Well, I have to toddle alone now, but I'm certainly glad I had the opportunity, Don, to tell you, Charlie, and Edgar how much I enjoyed your company and your performance.
Yeah. She's awfully nice, isn't she?
And I want you three to come up with me right after the show and have tea.
What, no compass? I'm awfully sorry that I'll be busy. I won't be able to go along.
Well, come, Charlie. Come, Edgar.
Okay.
See you later. Toodaloo.
Yeah, toodaloo. Say, you know, Bill, I'd say she wasn't very crazy about you.
Oh, yeah, she benefited her great family for suppressing their emotions. She's probably very fond of me in her own peculiar way.
Well, she's a very nice person and a grand trooper.
Oh, yeah, she's wonderful. Did I tell you the time she was playing in, Is she ever playing Minsky's Birdland?
Certainly not, Bill. No, certainly not.
No, I got married with a theater guild again.
Yes, she's a great actress and a very kind person.
Oh, she's very kind, Don, very kind. I remember once a child was run over in front of the theater when she was playing. Was run over by a pie wagon.
A pie wagon?
Yes, pies all over the street. Lemon, custard, apple, mint, donut, apple.
Donut? I never heard of that, Bill.
Quiet, Mr. and Mrs. Tommy, Constance, Mr. Constance Bennett, ran after the ambulance.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
When she arrived at the hospital, one of the doctors... said a blood transfusion was necessary. Connie.
Who?
Miss Thompson Bennett, excuse me, Don. She rolled up her sleeves and said, "May it please you, good doctor, I offer my blood." She was very polite to him.
Did Connie do that?
Miss Thompson Bennett, Don, yes, she did.
Well, say, that's wonderful. Mm. She gave her blood and the child got well?
No, the child froze to death.
Get that story, Bill.
William Claudius Steele to you, please, missy. And I never reveal the source of my information. But really, Connie, you're looking more beautiful than ever, if that's possible. How about a little smack for the old codger?
Well, there's ice in my veins, is there?
Oh, Connie, dear. I thank you. I was a chump for ever letting you get away from me. I should have never listened to my parents.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much. As usual, we get the invitations and Bill Fields gets the results. Thank you, Miss Constance Bennett, and thank you very much, W.C. Fields. Ray Middleton, whose dramatic baritone voice has brought him to Hollywood and pictures, is an actor, and a fine one, as well as a singer. For a year on Broadway, he played the dramatic lead in Roberta. For us, Ray combines singing and acting in Jacques Wolff's famous spiritual Glory Road.
Glory Road, oh, the Glory Road, I'm gonna drop my load upon the Glory Road. I lay on my bed until 1 o'clock, and the Lord come a-calling all his faithful flock, and he called me, and he called me, and I know that the Savior was a-calling me, and he called me, and he called me, and I cry, Master Jesus, is you calling me, and he called me, and he called me, and I risen from my bed, and I cried, yes, me. The Lord said, brother, ain't I call you thrice? Right along behind me up to paradise on the glory road, glory road, glory road, glory road, glory road. And I rose up to the saddle and I joined the load. The horse, he was longer than 1,000 miles. His tail went a-lashing and his hoof was wild. His mane was a-flaming and his eyes was moons. And his mouth, he kept a-singing hallelujah tunes. Lord said, brother, why don't you look around? And there we was flying over rising ground. Powerful hills and mountains, too. And the earth and the people was dropped from view. And I heard all around me how the Spirit sang. And the Lord sang louder than the whole city. The Lord said, brother, why don't you look again? And there was the devil on the back of sin, banging on the critter with his whip and goad, and Bonnie's gonna crush us on the glory road. Oh, Lordy, it's the devil coming straight from hell. I can tell him by his roaring and his brimstone smell. But the Lord said, brother. He ain't kept his yip. And he lashed and he hustled and he loosed a bit. Then the devil crept closer and I heard him yell, "I'm gonna crack a dock and put a roast in hell." And I cried, "Lord, save me!" And the Lord cried, "No." And head was heaven and we set the dough. Oh, glory! They shout and they holler and they beat the drum. King Solomon kissed me and his thousand wives, just like they'd known me during all their lives. And the Lord said, "Brother, take a grain, stand, seat." But I bet you're hungry, have a bite to eat. And the Raymond fed me and Elijah played. And the safe ones gathered while the organ played. And the crowd all seen it coming, "New Load on the Glory Road, Glory Road."
Charlie, now, please, wait a minute.
Yes,
sir. Donald Briggs, these are the days when cool, refreshing iced coffee is such a welcome drink. As you know, iced coffee is not all alike. Some tastes thin, weakened by the melting ice, and some gives you plenty of delicious, refreshing flavor no matter how much ice you add. Naturally, you want really refreshing iced coffee. And here's the secret. To make up for dilution by the ice, measure your coffee more generously than usual. And above all, use the blend that gives you extra rich flavor, Chasen Sanborn coffee. You can be sure that Chasen Sanborn dated coffee is always at the peak of its full mellow flavor because it's always fresh. This blend of the world's choice coffees is rushed to your grocer straight from roasting, guaranteed fresh by our dating plan. With this system, we're able to pack this finer, fresher coffee in an economical dated bag instead of a costly container, and you get the savings. Try this superb coffee, hot or iced. Buy a pound of Chasen Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
Glory road, oh, glory road. Oh, Mr. Middleton, that was well done. Excellent rendition.
Thank you.
Yeah? Your fortissimo was so pianissimo that it sort of brought out the allegro and the adagio. Vice versa, too. And when I say that, I'm not speaking as a layman, but as a man who knows absolutely nothing about the subject.
Oh, it's easy to see, Charlie, that you have more than a passing knowledge of music.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we would think you had more knowledge if you didn't pass it out.
That's the meat cheese. I mean, jealousy, that's all there is. You know, Mr. Middleton, I have much in common, you and I, you know. I, too, am a singer.
Oh, what type of song do you sing?
Well, I lean towards the bad salad. I mean, the sad ballad. Such as, "I'm only a cage and a guilty bird." Bird. I used to sing better. I think Bergen was out last night.
No.
Well, not completely, no. Mr. Middleton, isn't it true that a voice... No, it isn't true, all right.
Do you practice a great deal, Ray? Now, listen, Charlie, you may learn something.
Well, I always start my voice exercises by running a scale.
Oh, there you are. Now, Charlie, can you run a scale?
Can I? I can run it ragged. I ran one for 3 days. Once, finally disappeared up an alley. Listen. Do, re, mi, fa, so, et cetera, et cetera. I can go higher, but I won't be responsible.
Can you hit high C?
Well, if I don't hit it on the way up, I'll knock it off coming down.
I hope sometime, Ray, that you'll sing my favorite, Home on the Range.
Yeah, I like Home on the Range, too. Especially in wintertime. Home, home on the range, with the steam coming up for a change. When it's 40 below and the icy winds blow, I love to sit home on the range.
Charlie, that's really great singing, and you're definitely held over by popular demand. Led by Ray Middleton and inspired by Werner Jansen,
our entire vocal company, including Dorothy L'Amour, Charlie McCarthy, the chorus, and I, will attack some of the most delightful lyrics written by Gilbert M. Sullivan. So sound your A, Werner, and we're on our way.
I'm called Little Buttercup, dear Little Buttercup, though I could never tell why. But still I'm called Buttercup, poor Little Buttercup, sweet Little Buttercup I.
And smile on your buttercup, dear Little Buttercup, say that you'll never be sad.
Though by of your buttercup, poor Little Buttercup, come of your buttercup by.
On a tree by a river, a little tomtit.
Sang willow, tit willow, tit willow.
And I said to him, Dickie bird, why do you sit?
Singing willow, tit willow, tit willow.
Is it weakness of intellect, birdie, I cry, or a rather tough worm in your little inside? With a shake of his poor little head, he replied,
oh, well, out, that well, out, that well, out.
He slapped at his chest as he sat on that bench.
Well, out, well, out, well, out, well, out.
And a cold perspiration bespangled his brow.
Oh, well, out,
it well, out, it well, out. He sounded excited at a gurgle he gave. Then he plunged himself into the billowy wave. And an echo arose from the suicide grave.
Oh, well, out, it well, out, I can't go out.
Now I feel just as sure as I'm sure that my name. That was vited affection that made him exclaim. And if you remain callous and obdurate, I shall perish as he did, and you will know why. Though I probably shall not exclaim as I die. Oh, willow, did willow, did willow.
I am the monarch of the sea, the ruler of the Queen's Navy, whose praise Great Britain loudly chants.
And we are his sisters and his sons and his aunts.
And we are his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. His sisters and his cousins and his aunts.
When at anchor here I ride, my bosom swells with pride, and I snap my fingers at a foreman's taunt.
And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts.
And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. His sisters and his cousins and his aunts.
But when the breezes blow, I generally go below and seek the seclusion that a cabin grants.
And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts.
And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. His sisters and his cousins and his aunts. And my cousins and his aunts.
When I was a lad, I served a term as an office boy to an attorney's firm. I cleaned the windows and I swept the floor and I polished up the handle of the big front door. I polished up the handle so carefully that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
He polished up the handle so carefully that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
As office boy, I made such a mark that they gave me the post of a junior clerk. I served the writs with a smile so bland, and I copied all the letters in a big round hand. I copied all the letters in a hand so free that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy. Now, landsmen all, whoever you may be, if you want to rise to the top of the tree, stick close to your destined guide, bit of rule. If you don't want to be guided by this golden rule, stick close to your desks and never go to sea, and you all may be rulers of the Queen's Navy.
I'm saying au revoir now for our guests, Constance Bennett and Ray Middleton, and for our regular company, W.C. Fields.
I had two elephants once, Don.
Yes, Bill, I know. You told me.
Next week I tell you about my 10 years in the frozen north without a hot water bottle. Well, my feet cold.
Next week, if I can't stop you, you can tell all of us, including Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour and Werner Jansen. As our guests, we shall have Miss Joan Blondell.
Joan Blondell?
Yes, Charlie, Joan Blondell.
Be still, my fluttering heart. Yippee!
And Rogers and Hart, who have written two brand new songs especially for us. Next Sunday, at the same time, we'll all be greeting you. So until then, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir.
Heard on this program was The Big Show from Jerome Kern's Head Over Heels. Next Sunday, at the same time, W.C. Fields, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, Werner Jansen, and Don Amici will have as their guests Joan Blondell and Rogers and Hart. Be sure to listen. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.